Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of The Bible Says. I'm Pastor Alan Blackwood, and you've joined us for a study of the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, to be exact, chapter 2. On the last broadcast, we finished up with verse 12. If I start with verse 13, there is such an abrupt change that you're going to be robbed of the flow of thought. And I want to go back and start with verse 7. And we'll start with verse 7 and read right on through 13, kind of give you a continuity in the flow of thought. I will just briefly, as I read through this passage, go ahead and make some comments. I'm not going to spend the time on it that we spent in the last several broadcasts, but if you are joining us for the first time, or maybe you missed the last broadcast or two, it'll kind of give you a feel for what was said without actually going into that greater depth. Now, if you say, well, I'm interested in that passage and I missed the previous broadcasts, how can I get that? Well, we'll be glad to make it available to you. If you will drop us a line or give us a call, we'll need your address, your complete mailing address, and we'll be glad to make it available to you. All we ask is for a small donation to cover the costs of producing the tape, and we'll get it to you. Okay, starting now with verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word let and letteth here, you could read it with understanding as hinder. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. There's been a language shift in our usage since 1611 when this was translated from the Greek. And sometimes there are some words that you need to update in your understanding. Nothing wrong with the usage of the word, it's just that it's a little archaic in some cases. All right, he speaks here the mystery of iniquity, that is the program that is already in place, it's already in motion. It is being held back temporarily by the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit as he indwells the believer. Now, you'll notice it says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. And this is an indirect reference to the rapture of the church. Moving on. And then, that is after the rapture, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The wicked here, of which he speaks, is making reference to the Antichrist, or the beast, of Revelation chapter 13. In verse 9, he continues, even him, talking now about the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working, or is following, or is based on the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, this word power comes from a Greek word, energia. It's used only of superhuman power, either of God's power or of Satan's power. All right? This power, in the verse here, is designated as coming from Satan. Now, you'll notice there are three things here, satanic power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, this word signs has to do with the idea of miracles to convince. Now, these three things are working toward the advantage of the Antichrist. Combining with another characteristic in verse 10, this being in the lives and the hearts and the minds, if you will, of the unbelievers, those people who have been left after the rapture. You will notice it says, and with all deceivableness, that is, the ability to be deceived, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. All right? Power, signs, lying wonders, on the one hand, coming in contact with the ability and desirability of being deceived. These combined, then, you'll see here it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We're talking about a great multitude of people here who have rejected the gospel, who have missed the rapture. Now, as I have pointed out in the past, and I'm not going to kick it too hard here now because we've got other things to discuss, but this idea that's going around today that you have an opportunity to be saved after the rapture, if you have rejected Christ before the rapture, my friend, you are doomed. I don't care who writes, how many books, and how rich they get from doing it, or how loud they proclaim their rightness of the situation. The Bible is explicit, and we are looking at a passage here that guts the fictions that are being written concerning those who get saved after the rapture, who have rejected Christ before the rapture. Now, please be clear on this. According to Revelation chapter 7, there will be great multitudes of people saved during the tribulation period. However, they are those who have never heard the gospel before. Whether you want to call them third world countries or not, these are people who have never had an opportunity to receive Christ. From this great multitude, then, comes a vast number, the scripture says, a multitude which no man can number, who will accept the gospel of the kingdom and receive Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Keep in mind that the church age has been completed with the rapture of the church. These folks who are saved during the tribulation are referred to in the scripture, or by theologians at least, as the tribulation saints. They are separate from the church, a totally different body of believers. They've placed their faith in Christ, but not as Savior, but as King of Kings. Now, as we move through here, you will notice in verse 10, it says, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. They're in the process of perishing. That is their destiny. Because, and this is why, because they received not the love of the truth. That is, they did not embrace the truth that they might be saved. Now for this cause, in verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The idea of the delusion is being led astray from the right way. Now you say, no, wait a minute, that doesn't sound consistent with what I know the character of God to be. Please keep in mind, the lie is not of His making, but rather the delusion. He causes people who are already predetermined. They're already set in their mind to believe a lie. They wish to be deceived. And he says, okay. And it becomes easy for them to believe the lie that the Antichrist will set forth as to what happened to the people who disappeared during the rapture. Now you'll notice it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These verses here are why I cannot endorse the writings of Mr. Tim LaHaye in his Left Behind series. It is not a matter that, I just don't agree with it. No, the Bible says they are going to be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, when we come to verse 13, there is a tremendous and forceful contrast that just comes down like a vault door, kaboom. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, let's go back. We see here, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord. These Christians to whom he is writing, he designates as brothers. They are believers. They are, you'll notice, beloved of the Lord. Now, you'll note that in the first part of verse 3, he makes a statement that you don't normally see put into practice today. Here is somebody who is giving thanks for another believer. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. And I have a question. Are there any people, is there anyone who, as they watch your life, as they listen to your words, as they have conversation with you. Is there anyone who in that relationship with you gives God thanks for you? Now that may seem like it came out of left field, and I don't mean it to be confusing. I think you surely ought to be able to follow that. Is your walk with the Lord so close that it provides an encouragement to those who are floundering? Is your faith so secure and so sound that you are one that people turn to, that they look to for guidance in controversy? When they have questions, are you the person they turn to? Are your answers, is your counsel so solid and so right that when they put it into practice, God blesses, the problem is solved, the situation clears up, and in turn then they give thanks to God for you? Now Paul says we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. This word chosen, elected you. He has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, keep in mind the concept of sanctification. It means to be set apart, in this case, for the use of God. You'll find in the Old Testament that God sometimes gave commandment to Israel that they should sanctify themselves. That's something else. There is, you see, a positional sanctification that God provides. It is a work that He does. But joining together with that is the responsibility then that the believer has in setting themselves apart from contamination, setting themselves apart from sin, so as to be usable, instantaneously usable to God. In season, out of season, doesn't make any difference. Now, he says here that these brethren have been chosen by God from the beginning. Remember, the scripture says that our names have been graven on His palms before the foundation of the world. Now, let's move on here. He says, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit sets you aside. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, deals with you and convicts you of your need. He convinces you of your need of the Savior through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. This is not a matter that you decided, well, I'm just going to believe the truth. It took an act of God. Remember, in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He came to you first. If any man hear my voice, you need to respond, and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. All right. Now, you'll notice here he says in verse 14, Whereunto he called you. In other words, he called you by our gospel to this matter of the belief of the truth and the sanctification through the Spirit. You'll notice he says, Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the end of the sentence there, verse 14. And I think as I look at the clock, that's about as far as we're going to get today. We'll pick it up here with verse 15 on the next broadcast. Now, please treat the scripture seriously. When the Bible says something, pay attention to it. It doesn't make any difference if a million people believe a stupid thing. It's still stupid. What does the Bible say? That's the important thing.